Well, my desire this afternoon is that we would be edified and that you would be encouraged with the service this afternoon. I feel impressed to follow up this morning's message with a question, and I've written on the board, what is touching you? I guess maybe more applicable is, what is touching your life? And that's the question I'd like to leave with you this afternoon. I want to return to a couple of verses in Daniel that I think we read maybe here some time ago. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to remind us of the circumstances in the 10th chapter of Daniel, if we could turn there. Daniel 10 and 2 says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." And this is words that and an appearance that Daniel was seeing. We skip to the 10th verse, and it says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." And my attention this afternoon is drawn to this 10th verse. This 10th verse where it says, "And behold, an hand touched me." And the question this afternoon is, what are you being touched by in your life? What is touching you in life? What is moving you? What is influencing you? What is having an effect on your daily life? We're touched by many things. All of us are. Every day, we're touched by things that cause us to respond differently. We're touched by things that inform our point of view on certain things in life. We're touched in ways that affect our demeanor and our outlook throughout the course of the day and really of our lives. And I understand that there's some things that touch us that we don't have anything to say about. I'm not typically consulted about what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Not usually. I'm not usually consulted on what viruses are going to come and start affecting people from the standpoint of the health of their body. I'm not asked those sorts of questions. Don't know what the traffic's going to be on certain roads. And yet I'm touched by all these things. You know, I'm touched by the weather. It affects my life. I'm touched by viruses. I'm touched by the traffic and a whole lot of other things. I'm not thinking about those things so much this afternoon. I'm thinking about, what are we touched by in our lives that influence us and affect us that we have something to say about? Or said conversely, things that we're not touched by in our lives that we have really something to say about. There was a reason why Daniel was touched by the Lord in such a wonderful, definite, I'm going to say, life-changing manner. And it was dramatic, wasn't it? I've never experienced anything quite like that. But I have been touched by the Lord. I know something about that. And I know it's one of the best things that can ever happen to you. But the reason that Daniel was touched in this manner is because the Scripture said that he set his heart. He set his heart to understand some of the things of the Lord. And it said that he chastened himself before the Lord. It didn't say that he was unwillingly afflicted and it then caused him to be touched by the Lord. Did you know that sometimes we're touched by the Lord after the Lord touches us and puts us in a low place and we start saying, Lord, I recognize I need some help here. I'm hurt. This virus has descended upon me and I'm sick now. Or Lord, there's a whole lot of things we could say. But in this case, Daniel willingly afflicted himself. Chastened himself. Let's say it that way. The word chasten means to afflict. It means to purify oneself from errors or faults. And Daniel, in his quest to reach the throne of God, he set his heart, he purposed, he made it his priority. And he willingly chastened himself, the scripture says, before the Lord. And because of that, because of his heart's desire, because he willingly went before the Lord and he made that his priority. In the Lord's timing, the Lord came and did one of the most wonderful things that can ever take place in our lives. And that is that the Lord himself comes along and he reaches down and he touches you. There's nothing like the touch of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in this case to Daniel. And I'm wondering this afternoon, what are you being touched by? What are we being touched by? And I think I can answer that question in part. I don't know everybody's lives. I don't know what all your days look like, but I think I can answer the question on what you're touched by to a point. I think that you're touched by those things that you set your heart on. That's what I think you're touched by. I think that we are touched often. I'm talking this afternoon about things that we have some control over. We are touched in those areas that are associated with things that we take action on. See, that's what Daniel did. Daniel set his heart to the Lord and he took action. He chastened himself. He sacrificed. He did without. You can read through it and get a better idea and reinforce what he did. He was serious about reaching the throne of God. He set his heart on it. And because of that, he was touched. And I would propose this afternoon that as a rule, you are touched most often by the things that you set your heart on. We're touched by the things that we, as Daniel did, took action on. Now, for example, we're all here in church this afternoon. We came to church. Why did we come to church? I won't go around and ask everybody why you're here. But we come to church to be blessed, right? Well, we took action to come to church. But what is it that causes the Lord to come to church with us? You ever thought about that? Do you know that the only reason I come to church is because I'm supposed to come to church? If I'm here this afternoon because I don't want my brother or sister to know that Rod didn't come to church this afternoon or this morning, I'm not condemning for now. There's reasons why we don't come to church sometimes. That's not my point. If our reason for coming to church is because we're expected to come to church by somebody and we don't want to look like we're less spiritual than the next person, and we know that we're supposed to come to church, we're Christians. Christians are supposed to come to church. So we're going to church. So throughout the course of the week, we do whatever we do. But Sunday, time to go to church. So I guess we're going to go to church. What causes the Lord to come to church? Do you think that's enough for God to decide that He's going to come to church and meet with us? Something to think about, isn't it? Have you ever been in church services before and you just kind of went away and didn't really get a whole lot out of it? Do you come to church with expectation? You come to church service and by the time you get here and land in your seat, are you expecting something from God? Or are you just here? If you want to be touched by Jesus Christ, if you want the Lord to also come to church, I really don't want to come to church if the Lord's not. Well, sometimes I do because I like seeing people. But there are other times I don't really. It would be easier to stay home. If I know that the Lord's not going to come and meet with us in church, sometimes I'd rather stay home. So my point is, I want the Lord to come to church too. What causes the Lord to come to church? Not just because I show up to church. Is that the reason why the Lord comes to church? The Lord comes and visits us when we set our hearts. Lord, I want something from you. Lord, I'm getting ready to go to church. The Sunday is a few days away. And Lord, when I get there, Father, would you help me get a hold of what it is you want me to get a hold of? Lord, would you prepare my heart? Lord, speak to my soul. Lord, would you be willing to descend upon our presence? Would you bless in the song service? Lord, would the song minister to the need of my heart? Lord, would you hear our prayers? Lord, help all of the ones that are coming to church that maybe are in trouble. Lord, would you bless in the service and help it such that they can go away challenged and encouraged in their life? If we go through the course of a week and we have set our heart on going to service and meeting with Jesus Christ in His Spirit, that's when the Lord is willing to come down and meet with us. That's when He's willing to come down and touch our lives. Where we go away and say, oh, did you feel what I felt? Did you feel when the Spirit of the Lord came down in our service? Or through the course of a week, we go through and we all have jobs. A lot of us have jobs we go to and we're out in the workplace and we're out in the world. But where is our heart set? Is our heart set? Do we purpose in our heart and in our lives and with our actions that, Lord, I'm getting ready to go out into the workplace and, Lord, you have commissioned me to take the gospel to the world. Lord, you have asked that I would be a light to the world that accurately represents you, who you are. Lord, I don't know what all I'm going to deal with in my job today, but Lord, I want to go be a servant of the Most High God. Lord, when I get to work, I want to handle the situations in such a way that people would go away and it would cause them to think about you and that you would be glorified, Lord. Lord, would you help me to set my heart on you and things above? Lord, I want to be a servant that's dependable for you, that you can count on. And Lord, as I go out into the world, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. But Lord, when I'm in the world, help me, Lord, to do it in such a way that furthers the kingdom. You see the difference? When we do that, when we approach it that way, when we set our heart on things above, that's when the Lord's willing to come down and touch us. What's touching our lives today? I want the Lord to look down and see something in my life that would move Him on His throne. In His mercy, that He would be willing to touch me. It's so easy to be consumed with all of the things of this life. Look, I know as well as anybody in here, I think, or at least most of you, because I know a lot of you, you're out in the workforce and you know that it's so easy to be consumed by the temporal things of life because they can consume our time and consume our energy and rent space in our heads. And by the time we get home at night, we're tired. We really don't feel like we have anything left. And we get up the next morning and there's people standing outside. They're wanting this and needing that and this problem to deal with. And if we're not very careful, that can begin to define our lives. And we can let ourselves get in a place where we become consumed with things primarily temporal in nature. And if we do that, we are going to miss out on the most valuable thing that can happen to us, and that's that we're touched by the Lord. I often think of the book of Ecclesiastes, and you read through that book, it's such a powerful book, and Solomon had everything at his disposal. He'd get whatever he wanted. I can't do that. But Solomon could. There are times that I think, well, I sure wouldn't mind trying to figure out what that feels like to have that. I can think about it, but that's about as far as it goes. But now Solomon, he'd get whatever he wanted. For the most part. Things temporal I'm talking about. And so he did. He tried to figure out what life was all about. He wanted to be fulfilled. He was king. You think, well, if you're king, I mean, you've made it. But he apparently didn't feel that way. Because he was trying to figure out what his life about. I want to be fulfilled. And so he tried all of these things. Read the whole book of Ecclesiastes. It's an incredible book. He learned a lot of stuff. He learned that there's a time for this to happen, there's a time for that to happen. He kind of got that down. But he also learned this, that fulfillment in life wasn't found in material things. It wasn't in entertainment. It wasn't in material possessions. He got himself singers and entertainment, and he got himself all kinds of material things in the way of animals and gardens. And I mean, he had it all. And at the end of the day, he wasn't satisfied. But finally, at the very end, the very last verse of the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, he said, this is the conclusion of all of it. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole matter of what? The whole matter of life. Here, you want to know what the whole conclusion is of life? Here's the conclusion of life. This is what really matters. Fear God and keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. That's where he finally got to the place where he realized there is nothing more important than to fear God. Live for God. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. The good news this afternoon is that God wants you to give Him your life so that He can touch your life. So that He can bless you. So that He can fill that void and that need that we all have in our lives. That's what God wants to fulfill for us. But we have a responsibility. We have to be willing to set our heart, like Daniel did, on things above. What makes us think that if we don't set our heart on things above, that the Lord is going to be moved to consistently bless us in our lives? It doesn't make sense. But the good news this morning is that if we give our hearts and our lives to the Lord, He will do that. The book of Jeremiah captures the thought this way. The scripture says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You've all heard that verse, right? We like that verse, don't we? I do. It sounds good, and it is good, and it's true, and God does. He thinks thoughts of peace and goodness and goodwill, and He wants to give me an expected end of eternal life. And it's a pretty popular verse in the nominal Christian world. You know, this is a well-known verse. It's a verse to hang your hat on, if you will. But here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that many don't realize the truth that the Lord, that this word of the Lord can have in their lives, and they don't experience it because they don't read just a little bit farther. If you read just one more verse, just in the next couple of verses, the scripture says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you disregard me throughout the course of the day. No. When you search for me with all your heart. And we miss that sometimes. We don't search for God with all of our heart. Oftentimes, or people in the world, they don't, that profess Christianity. That's not where their heart's at. They would rather just think about, the Lord has good thoughts towards me. He thinks thoughts of peace. There's a verse in Jeremiah that says that. And I'm going to wear a t-shirt with that on my body, and that's going to be my testimony. I'm not putting that down, but what I am saying, this is going to be a lot of disappointed people out there that don't find it come to pass in their lives because they don't set their heart to search for the Lord with all of their heart. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The Lord wants to do all of that for us. But what was the first part of the exhortation? What was the first word? Come. That's my responsibility. That's not something the Lord can do for us. He gives us those decision rights. He says to us, come. I'm not going to force you, but you come unto me. We have to be willing to do that. The parable of the Great Supper. You read that parable. It said that a great supper was prepared and all was spread out on the table. And it said, and all things are now ready. Go and bring them in. Call them in. And yet what happened? So many of them were so consumed with non-sinful things of life. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about non-sinful things of life. They let those things interfere with them coming to the table of the Lord. And so then they missed out on those blessings. Oh, look. In a day and a time where there is so much in the world to consume our attention and to capture our heart, to grab our affection, to consume the limited number of hours that are in the day, oh, I want to encourage you, be willing to set your heart on things above. Be willing to carve out special time for the Lord. Be willing to do what Daniel did and set your heart and chasten yourself before the Lord. As we said this morning, do whatever it takes to be touched by the Lord. What's touching your life this afternoon? Are you happy with it? Are you receiving the blessings that you would like God to bestow upon you? Or is there something else we can do? And it's afternoon service, and I don't usually preach a long time in afternoon service, so I'm going to bring it to a close real quick. But I want to mention just several things. You want to set your heart before the Lord? Tell Him you want to be touched. Did you know this way was never intended to be complicated? The Lord never intended for it to be some obstacle course, and it's a real kind of a mystery. And those people who really want to get a hold of the Lord, well, the Lord's going to hold that back from you, and you're going to have to just get everything to line up just right. It was never intended to be complicated. Following Jesus was intended, not always to be easy, but to be simple to understand. And I believe that this afternoon, we would be in a better position to be touched by the Lord if we would just do a few simple things on a more frequent basis. Tell the Lord you want to be touched. Jesus said, you receive not because you ask not. When was the last time you asked the Lord to touch you? Let the Lord know that you want to be touched. Come before His presence with singing and praise. Do we do that enough? You want to be touched by the Lord? Let Him know you're thankful for Him. The Scripture says if we don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out. I don't want the rocks to cry out on account of me, because I'm not giving praise. Give the Lord praise. He's so worthy to be praised. So much to thank Him for. You want to be touched by the Lord? Come before His presence and thank Him for all of the things that He's done for you. You want to be touched? Read the written Word of the Lord. Give yourself to it. It's the Word of the Lord. He has so much in here for us. But if He looks at our lives and He sees that we're just giving it a hop, skip, and a jump, and it's really something we're just trying to cross off the list, that we read a little bit of the Word of the Lord, That's not setting your heart on it. That's not chastening yourself before the Lord to understand. But if we get down in earnest, Lord, I'm getting ready to read the Word of the Lord. See, here's the difference. We get up in the morning. Okay, I need to read the Scripture really quick before I go to work. Read the Scripture. Okay, well, Lord, hope you do something with that in my life today. Maybe I'll need it, and we're on our way. There's a difference between that and saying, Lord, I'm getting ready to approach this day, and I'm needy. Lord, I need You in my heart and in my life, and I'm dependent on You. And Lord, this is the Word of the Lord. You have answers in here, and Your Spirit can take these verses and make them alive in my heart. Lord, help me to read something here that touches the need of my soul. And read it with that mindset and with that desire where you're setting your heart with expectation to get something out of it. Pray before the Lord. Spend time in prayer and meditation. You want to be touched by the Lord? Engage in spiritual self-examination in your own life. Do you know that the Lord honors that? Lord, help me to know where I'm weak. Lord, help me to really do some serious introspection of my life. Lord, that I might understand where I'm not where I ought to be. Because there are places all of us have some needs in our lives. I haven't arrived yet. Lord, help me to know where that is. You want to be touched by the Lord? Be honest with the Lord that way. You're not going to tell Him anything He didn't already know. I think I told you that before. One time I was about afraid to tell the Lord my problem because He might say, well, you're right. You do got that problem. Thanks for pointing that out to me. You're in bad shape. He already knows. And I was a teenager. I came before the Lord and I just opened it up before the Lord. Lord, I have not been living right in this area. And the Lord touched me right then. Have a memory of it. Seek a cross to carry. How often do we do that? You want to be touched by the Lord? How often do we go to the Lord and say, Lord, do you have a cross that you would like me to pick up and carry that I might glorify your name and do something in the work of the Lord? You know, most of the time we stand against the wall and we see all the crosses out there and we're saying, sure hope the Lord doesn't pick me to carry that one. And we see another one, it's like, well, I wonder who's going to give that one to. And we sit back there and finally when the Lord says, you, this is your cross and this is what you're going to have to carry. Okay, Lord. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I'm trying to make a point. How about proactively stepping up to the plate and saying, Lord, I want to bear a cross and partake in your sufferings, and I want to do it in a way that furthers the kingdom of God. Lord, is there a cross that you would have me to carry? Think the Lord will honor that? I think the Lord would be willing to touch our lives if we would do things like that. Lord, what place would you have me to fill in your body? Lord, there's a great work out there. I know I can't do everything. I can just do a little bit, but I know, Lord, that you can give the increase. Lord, what place would you have me fill in your body? And go before the Lord, not just wait for the Lord to push something on us and find ourselves in a corner and say, well, I guess this is my role here. It looks like this is where I'm at. No, how about we proactively go before the Lord and say, Lord, what place would you have me fill? Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go. If you want me to go, I'll go. These aren't complicated things. They're just things that we often don't do. And then we wonder why we're not touched by the Lord. I think that if we do these things, the Lord would bless us in our lives, and that we would be touched by the Lord. I want to end this afternoon with a verse in Malachi, the 3rd chapter. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. Then they that feared the Lord, then they that set their heart on the Lord, Then they that made the Lord a priority and it didn't matter that it was a cross. It didn't matter it was a hard place. They made it a priority anyway. Lord, I'll go. Lord, I want to be a dependable servant. Then they that feared the Lord and made Him a priority and set their heart on Him, they spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. He took note. He saw who it was. He realized, there's one of my children down there. They fear me. They're setting their heart on things above. They're chastening themselves in a manner that demonstrates their love and their care and their devotion for me. And it says, and the Lord hearkened, and He heard it. Oh, and that wasn't all. And a book of remembrance was written for those that feared His name. Oh, look, here's one of my servants. Let me write that down. I'm not gonna forget this. There's gonna come a day. I'm gonna pull this book back out, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you want to be in that number? My message this afternoon is that may God help us be numbered with the treasures that the Lord gathers up to make His jewels. If we give our heart to the Lord and chasten ourselves before His presence, the Lord has promised to come and touch us and change our lives. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.